Sheer Factor by Gary Davidson, an audiobook read by a guy doing an impression of Rusty the Rooster from The Friendly Giant. Chapter 10. Context is King. September 2019.
Andy liked crowds. He didn't think he would, but pressing the flesh, moving through groups of people, all of whom were happy to see him, all of whom had smiles on their face. It was intoxicating. And giving speeches. He didn't think he'd like that either, and he was terrible at it the first few years. There was a video circulating around the interwebs now from his first year as an MP that made Andy cringe. Not because of the regressive things he had said, for he still believed homosexuality was a sin, but because of how nervous he looked saying them. It was a cheap shot, bringing up something from his past, but that's all liberals took were cheap shots. He was inexperienced then, not practiced before the camera like that part-time drama teacher Justin Trudeau. Andy stumbled through his comment, reading directly off a piece of paper with what he wanted to say on it. And he was nervous because he knew then he'd be attacked for it. But it was from his heart. Gay marriage was a sin. God said so. And no just and righteous government should acknowledge sin. Thank goodness he hadn't gone to the old candidates meeting in 2004, or he never would have been elected. But now he was a natural. He spoke well. He kept his voice from squeaking. He almost kept it in the same octave as his regular talking voice. He'd learned to go FM, as one of the communication nerds had put it. His crowds weren't as big as Justin Trudeau's were. That was good, too. Big crowds made Andy nervous, but these groups didn't. There must have been more than 100 people here, which was a lot for him. But he knew they were there for him, because they were real supporters. Not curiosity seekers or looky-loos that followed Justin Trudeau like groupies. Andy's supporters were there because they wanted to win. Not because he was a pretty boy whose picture was on the cover of magazines. The photographer was close, too. That was important. Forced perspective. Tight on the group around him. Made sure that the group looked larger than it was. That was another piece of advice they got from the folks at Trumpland. It didn't matter how big the crowd was. It was how big it looked. Particularly since his crowds were real. And that made Andy feel safe too. His crowds had been invited. Vetted. Their social media feeds checked to ensure each was an actual supporter. Not someone who came to make trouble. Andy didn't handle hecklers well. He didn't like protesters. And like his former boss, Andy wanted his organizers to make sure he didn't stumble across any. Well, they tried. There was a camera crew in Barrie, Ontario that hijacked his meet and greet with that autistic mother. Federal government had no control over health care aside from regulating the interprovincial aspects, and her beef was with that pompous buffoon Doug Ford. So bringing her to Andy was just another attempt by the lamestream media to embarrass him. It was one reason why they had to be stopped. No political party should have control of the media. Despite every attempt by their owners to influence editorial decisions of the media they owned, and despite all the publishers' endorsements that his party was given, through Post Media, Sun Media, Financial Post, Global TV, and even CTV, his party had trouble getting any control of the message. It was one reason why Hamish had created Rebel Media and the Proud Boys were subverting Facebook, although both groups took it a bit too far. Encouraging people like his own MP, Michael Cooper, to repeat those horrible goat herder comments that made it look like Andy's zero tolerance of racism in his party was an idle threat, particularly since Cooper hadn't even been suspended for reading the racist New Zealand shooter's banned manifesto in a parliamentary record. But watching that night's news bothered him. Andy's biggest tell was that he smiled when he was nervous, and his grin as he turned on the woman made him look callous and evil on the news that night. He hated that. He hated that he smiled when he was nervous. He hated that it made him look cruel instead of warm. Andy hated his smile. Andy looked out from the podium at the crowd. Wow, that really was a lot of people. Maybe closer to 150. He swallowed, calmed himself as he looked down at his notes, slowed his breathing, brought his voice back down a bit, and then began to speak to the group. Justin Trudeau has failed this city, he began. The crowd cheered. Well, they clapped appreciatively, but to Andy's ears it sounded like cheering, and this time his smile did look warm. He looked all around as he spoke. That was another thing the folks at Trumpland had stressed. Make it look like the room was packed. The video wouldn't cut to the empty spaces. They wouldn't show the areas where no one was. But Andy should look there. Truth, he preferred to speak to the white spaces. It made the speech more like rehearsal, and he felt safe during rehearsal. At the end of his speech, the group gave him a standing ovation. Well, maybe they'd been standing the whole time he spoke. He couldn't remember. But he came down from the podium and his handlers guided him directly to the crowd where he shook the hands of the same 50 people he had shaken hands with on the way in. Sophie? Andy stopped as his hand slid into hers. She was out of context here. What are you doing here? I came to see you speak, she said dreamily. The next Prime Minister of Canada. Andy looked around, looked to see if anyone was photographing him or videotaping this. He looked at her in panic. Can we talk? She asked. Oh God, Andy thought. Not now. He said, what if this was bad news? Would she go public if he didn't? He needed to nip this in the bud right now. He said again as he looked around for Brian or Mike or whatever his name was. Can you take Sophie to the bus? He told Donald with what he hoped was his warm smile, not his murderously creepy one. He was sure this event's coordinator's name was Donald, and he was happy he'd finally remembered that even though he never actually got around to saying the name. She's an old friend. Her presence weighed on Andy during the rest of this visit. He really wanted to beeline to the campaign bus and find out why she was here, but he had to pose with the local candidate for some photos and fend off a couple more hit questions from the local media about why he exaggerated his work experience prior to becoming an MP. Everyone exaggerated his resume, so Andy couldn't figure out why people were trying to make the fact he'd never completed the insurance broker certification into a big deal. It's not like the brokerage had allowed him to do anything illegal. It's not like he wore blackface. Why was he the one getting questioned? So what if he met with people, pitched the product, lined up the deal? It was always signed off by a licensed broker. It's not his fault that he was successful in getting elected as a member of parliament before the final stage of certification was needed. He was always above board. Not with them. Not with the party members who had elected him as leader, but with the brokerage. Therefore, he was always within the law, and not some hypocrite like that awful Justin Trudeau. Why couldn't people see that being an MP paid a heck of a lot more than an insurance broker did? Of course he didn't finish the certificate for the lower-paying job when he hit pay dirt. Who would? Focus, Andy, focus. He chastised himself. He had a bigger problem. He finally wrapped up what he had to do at this event and went to the campaign bus. It took some convincing to get his campaign people to give him a minute alone with this old friend, but after a very short argument, they went off to distract the media while Andy climbed on the bus. Sophie, he said as she rose, what's up? She was very excited. Oh, Andy Pandy, she rushed to give him a hug and he panicked for a second, unsure if he should let her or not, but decided keeping her placated was probably best. I just had to see you again. Okay, he said, calming a bit. How are you doing? She nodded. I'm good. She didn't sound very convincing. She sounded sad. Still single. Oh, he was patronizing her now. Even he knew it. He wanted this to be over. I'm sorry, I don't have much time, he said, looking out at his team. We're on a really tight schedule, he added, with what he hoped was a disarmingly goofy and completely harmless head bob. Was she going to profess her undying love to him again? Was she going to hit him up for more money? Sophie had been the love of his life during those first few weeks at University of Ottawa. He was pretty sure that he'd lost his virginity to her one night after an off-campus beer party. And he'd been drinking beer with his friends. Almost everyone was. Sometimes he had too many beers. Sometimes others did. And he liked beer. He still liked beer. But he didn't drink beer to the point of blacking out. And he never sexually assaulted anyone. It hadn't been planned. He'd woken up the next morning beside her in his room and then felt terrible about it. And he stuck around because having a girlfriend, even a homely one, was better than being the nerd on campus who just looked enviously at men that had girlfriends. It's good to see you, he said, only half meaning it. She smiled. Actually, she was beaming at him, adoringly it seemed. Now that smile was creepy, he thought. He started to lead her to the front of the bus. What might have been, huh? Sophie said, and he stopped. Sorry? Andy turned to her. You and me, she said. We could have stayed together. I'd be the future PM's wife if we had. He looked at her. He didn't mean it cruelly, but as his expression went blank, he spoke from the heart. Not likely. Her expression showed pain, betrayal. No, no, he panicked again. That's not what I meant, he gulped. The only reason I'm here is because Jill made it happen. She had all the connections. I would have stayed in the mailroom if she hadn't convinced me to move to Regina and then put me in touch with people who got me elected. He reached out and took her by the shoulders. You were a very kind and very sweet woman, and I'm sure in other circumstances we'd have had a great life. This was never my plan. I'm only here because of Jill. Oh, Sophie said finally, dejectedly. You know me, Andy chuckled self-depreciatingly. I don't have an ounce of ambition, he mocked, hoping it was something she'd said once. A lot of people did back then. Sophie nodded sadly, and then it looked like he could finally be rid of her. Andy returned to trying to guide her toward the front of the bus. I named him James, she said. That's your middle name, right? Andy stopped. Named who? Our son. Then it all flooded back to him. Their affair had been brief. It ended when she told him she was pregnant. It ended when he gave her $700 to take care of it. He figured that meant go back home. It was about what a flight cost back then. But honestly, he hadn't wanted to know the details and hadn't cared if the money was for an abortion, which he was against now, but not as much against then, and certainly not as much against it then as he was against an unplanned child and a woman he barely knew ruining his life now. "So you kept it?" he stammered. She nodded. "No." She started to tear up. "I got rid of him." "Adoption?" Andy asked. Actually, it was a rather hopeful ask, because it would mean she hadn't aborted his baby and wasn't here for support. "No," she sobbed. "I went to a clinic. I couldn't handle it. My parents would have freaked. But he's always been there with me. It feels like he was real." She gasped between tears. Andy didn't know what to do. He hated to see a woman cry. Reluctantly. Awkwardly. Andy took her in his arms. He patted her on the shoulder. "He was," he said. They were way behind schedule now, but in the end it was good. She just needed to share her story, and in a way he needed to as well. He'd never actually known what had come of things. She disappeared from his life, and he didn't know why. Turns out, right after their breakup, she dropped out and returned home to Sudbury. Sophie and Andy parted again, this time on good terms. He wished her well. She wished him luck, and this time his smile was warm. She'd made him a man. He felt guilt over the direction things had gone, but that was then. A man's past mistakes shouldn't be held against him, unless he was a liberal. Andy had confessed his mistake at church. The priest had given him penance, and God had forgiven him. That's how it worked. His soul was clean, and now she finally had closure. "Where to now?" he asked Donald. "Oh, we gotta swing up the Ottawa Valley to North Bay and then overnight to Sudbury." "Ugh," Andy said. "Is there any way to cancel the Sudbury stop?" he asked. "Pierre doesn't have a hope in Hamilton of winning that one." Donald checked a few things, and then nodded. "Sure, boss." "Boss." Andy liked the sound of that.